Welcome back. In this lesson, we're doing something that seems simple, but it's one of those details that separates a clean drum and bass mix from a mix that feels like it has an era, a mood, and forward motion. We're talking about tape hiss placement, not let's add noise because lo-fi. This is controlled noise, used on purpose. The whole goal is to place the hiss so it supports the groove, fills the micro gaps between hits, and makes the track feel glued together, without stealing punch from your kick and snare or tricking your limiter into working overtime. And we're doing it from scratch in Ableton Live with stock devices only. Before we build anything, quick context check. This works best when you already have a rough balance, kick and snare not slamming the meters, hats and percussion established, bass under control. We're not using hiss to fix a weak arrangement. We're using it to add texture around a working drum and bass foundation. Now, mindset first. Decide the job your hiss is doing. Because if you don't decide, you'll keep turning it up and down forever. Job 1 is glue or bed. That's steady, very quiet, wide-ish, not too modulated. It just makes the mix feel like it's living in a medium. Job 2 is rhythmic filler. That's the hiss breathing with the drums, obvious ducking, sometimes gated, adding movement in the spaces. Job 3 is era or print vibe. That's slightly band-limited, maybe a touch of saturation, so it feels recorded, not like a clean synthesizer noise floating on top. Alright, let's build a dedicated track. Create a new audio track and name it Tape Hiss. The reason we keep it separate is simple. Placement equals EQ, dynamics, stereo control, and automation. If the noise is buried inside another channel, you lose fine control and you'll start compromising. Optional but recommended. Group it into a little folder like texture bus, especially if you plan to add more textures later. It keeps your session clean, and it also makes it easy to control all your vibe layers together. Now we need to generate hiss. We're going to do this the clean and controllable way using operator. Drop operator onto the tape hiss track. In operator, go to the global area and ignore the oscillator for now. Turn down oscillator a level because we don't want a sine tone. Enable the noise source and bring the noise level up a little, but start lower than you think. You can always add more later. We want constant hiss, not a little burst. So open the amp envelope for the output and make it steady. Attack at zero, decay at zero, sustain at full, release at zero. Basically, we want it to behave like a continuous noise generator whenever it's triggered. Then create a MIDI clip on this track with one long note that lasts the full section you want hiss in. C3 is fine. Hold it for 16 bars, 32 bars, whatever your loop is. Hit play. You should now have stable noise. At this point it's going to sound like raw white noise. That's fine. Placement is what turns it into tape hiss. If you want it to feel more alive, add auto filter after operator. Set it to a high pass filter, 12 or 24 dB slope. Start the frequency around 4 to 8 kHz. Keep resonance very low. If you crank resonance you'll get a whistle Y edge, and that is the opposite of what we want. Turn on the LFO in auto filter. Make it tiny, really tiny, 3 to 10% amount. Rate super slow, like 0.05 to 0.2 Hz. Sine wave works. This is not meant to sound like an effect. It's meant to create that subtle drift where the brightness breathes over time, like a medium. Cool. Now we shape it so it doesn't fight the drums. Here's a practical sock chain that works in most drum and bass sessions. EQ8, then optionally gate, then compressor with sidechain, then utility, and optionally saturator. Let's start with EQ8. Because this is where the placement really begins. We're making it hiss, not a full spectrum airwash. On AQ8, set a high pass filter, steep slope, around 5 to 10 kHz. A great modern starting point is about 6.5K. If you want more jungle nostalgia, you can bring it down a bit, like 4.5 to 6K, but be careful. The lower you go, the more you risk stepping into the zone where your snare presence and hat character live. Teacher note here, you're not just eking for tone. You're eking for roll. If the hiss starts to sound like cymbals, you've probably let too much of the 6 to 10k area through, or it's simply too loud. If it's harsh, add a gentle bell cut around 9 to 12k. Nothing dramatic. Q around 1.2, cut 1 to 3 dB. Think reduce irritation, not reshape the sound. And if it's fizzy or brittle, especially with bright hats, consider a low pass around 14 to 18k. That sounds counterintuitive, because hiss is high frequency energy. But this move can make it feel more like tape and less like digital spray. Next, optional gate. The gate is for behavior. If you don't want hiss in empty moments, or you want it to only show up when the track is alive, a gate can help. Drop gate after EQ. Set the threshold so the hiss closes when the music stops. Use a medium release, like 150 to 400 milliseconds, so it fades naturally rather than chopping off. If you want a cool trick for sparse intros, you can sidechain the gate's key input from your drum bus so the hiss opens when drums happen. That can feel like the groove is revealing the noise. Now for the big one in rolling drum and bass, sidechain compression. This is what makes the hiss sit behind the transients instead of smearing them. Add compressor after the gate. Turn on sidechain. Set the input to your drum bus, or a group that contains kick and snare. If your kick is super sub-heavy and you don't want the hiss reacting to low-end energy, you can also sidechain from snare only, which often feels super musical in DNB. Set ratio somewhere between 2:1 and 4:1. Attack around 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release is your groove control. Try 80 to 180 milliseconds as a starting range, and then adjust to the tempo and the swing of your drums. Threshold. Lower it until you see around 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on hits. Add a bit of knee, like 3 to 6 dB, to keep it smooth. Listen for the feeling, not the meter. Faster release gives you more chatter and excitement. Slower release gives you a smoother wash. In a minimal roller you might want smooth. In a more hectic break-driven thing you might want more movement. Next, utility for stereo placement. Hiss is a perception tool. The same hiss at the same level can feel subtle or distracting depending on width. If it's pulling attention, bring width down, like 70 to 110%. If you want that classic frame around the track feeling, you can go wider, 120 to 160, but be careful. Wide is not free. Super wide noise can make the sides feel busy and reduce perceived impact in the center. If you want a more pro approach without any third-party tools, here's a great variation. Mid-side control using an audio effect rack. Create an audio effect rack on the hiss channel. Make two chains, one called MID and one called side. On each chain, put a utility. On the MID chain, set width to 0% to force it mono, and turn its chain volume down a bit. On the side chain, you can keep width normal or even widen it, and make it slightly louder than the mid. Then put an EQ8 on each chain. On the MID chain, high pass even higher, like 7 to 10k, to keep the center clean. On the side chain, you can high pass a bit lower, like 5 to 7k, so the sides feel filled. The result is that the hiss frames the track instead of sitting on top of the snare in the middle. It's one of the cleanest ways to make noise feel expensive. Optional last, saturator. Use it lightly. Noise gets harsh fast. Put saturator at the end, drive maybe 1 to 3 dB, soft clip on, and then level match the output so you're not fooled by loudness. The goal is printed density, not distortion. If it starts sounding like sizzling, back off. Now, arrangement. This is where a lot of people mess up, because they try to find one perfect hiss level for the entire track. Don't do that. Place it by section. In the intro, hiss can come in early to set the mood. You can even automate the auto-filter high pass from darker to brighter over 8 or 16 bars. For example, start at 3 or 4K and move up to 7K. That gradual brightening is like a camera lens focusing. It creates anticipation without adding new musical elements. In the pre-drop, last 2 to 4 bars, try a small level lift, half a dB to 1.5 dB. Then do the classic vacuum moment. Cut the hiss right before the drop, even for just a quarter bar. That contrast makes the drop feel wider and heavier because your ear adapts to the noise floor, and when it disappears, the silence feels dramatic. In the drop, keep it lower than you think. In most modern DNB drops, the hiss should be felt when you mute it, not obviously heard when it's playing. If you can point to it while the full drums and bass are going, it's probably too hot or too bright. In the breakdown, bring it back as a bed behind pads and Atmos, often slightly darker, maybe a bit more width, and less of that 12 to 16K sparkle that can get fatiguing. Now let's talk about leveling and testing, because this is where you lock it in. Here is the simple method. Turn the hiss track all the way down. Bring it up slowly until you just notice it. Then pull it back about 1 dB. Then do the mute test in context. Toggle the hiss every 4 or 8 bars. If the mix collapses or feels strangely naked without it, you nailed the roll. If the mix suddenly sounds cleaner and punchier without it, your hiss is probably too loud, too bright, or too centered. Also do what I call a focus test. Loop the busiest part of your drop, the section with full hats and bass. Turn the hiss up until you can clearly hear it, then back it off, until it only shows up when you focus on it. Then switch to the intro. If it disappears too much there, don't compromise. Automate it by section. One more pro check. Don't let hiss lie to your limiter. Noise adds RMS fast, so watch your master limiter or your master bus gain reduction with hiss muted versus unmuted. If the limiter clamps noticeably more just because the hiss is on, you're sacrificing punch for vibe. Fix it by lowering hiss, or better, tightening its band with a low pass. Often a slightly lower low pass does more than turning it down, because it removes the most expensive ultra top energy. Advanced tone control, still stock, multiband ducking. If your hiss is mostly fine but it's blurring the presence area, put multiband dynamics after EQ8. Focus on the high band. Lower the high band output by 1 to 3 dB, and make the high band compression react a bit faster. Then after that, keep your sidechain compressor for overall groove ducking. This way, you shape the tone first, then you make it breathe. The hiss stays present, but it stops crowding the exact band your hats and snare need to speak. If you want a darker, heavier DNB approach, keep the hiss darker, not brighter. Try high pass at 7 to 9K and low pass at 12 to 14K. That turns it into carbon dust instead of sparkle. And consider sidechaining from snare only so the hiss breathes with the backbeat, without reacting to the sub. Now let's wrap this into a quick practice routine you can do in about 15 minutes. Build a 32-bar loop. Bars 1 to 16 are intro, atmos and light drums. Bars 17 to 32 are full drop, kick, snare, hats and bass. Create your tape hiss using operator noise. EQ8, then compressor side-chained from your drum bus, then utility. Automate three things: intro filter brightening, a small pre-drop volume ramp and a last quarter bar cut, and then a lower steady level through the drop. Then a slash be it. Hiss on, hiss off. If the intro feels empty with hiss off, good, it's doing something. If the drop loses punch with hiss on, adjust, reduce the mid component, increase ducking, shorten the frequency band, or all three. Recap to lock it in. Generate hiss with operator noise. This audio version is shortened for playback.